Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast, number 1094. Our topic is nutrition. The title is Daily Tracking Options to Improve Consistency. This podcast is probably going to be too long to be in just a singular part. So we're going to tentatively name this part one, and we'll see what we can get through today, and I probably will have to break it down to part two in four podcasts from now. So the next rotation of nutrition, specific topic, we'll do part two. Now, what this is coming from is I had a listener reach out and ask in a roundabout way how I managed my nutrition. And the context was, is they're a competitive athlete. We've worked together in the past, and they're a coach and personal trainer. And so they were kind of talking about some of the challenges they're facing with their business growing. And they wanted to reach out and say, hey, you know, obviously you own a business. How do you manage this on how do you track your nutrition on good days, on crazy days? How do you keep track of it so it's consistent without feeling like you're falling behind all the time and or trying to fit like perfect food scenarios into non-perfect days? So what we're going to do today is I'm going to talk about the way in which just three options, and I'm trying to make it written in a way that everybody else can use it. So this might not be exactly how I do it, but this is a formatted to where you can do this. So that way you can kind of find your own groove or find what works best for you. So we're going to take what I do in concept, but apply it to you, which is definitely way more helpful. So this is daily tracking options to improve consistency. What we're looking at are ways in which we can kind of track our food that are variable, given that we have variableness in our life. So we talked about in podcast 916, which is, you know, 100 and so podcasts ago, about the concept of flexible habits and how if you want to be consistent with our habits, it's helpful to have flexibility, meaning that you have like on the worst day ever. So let's say I want to work out every day. Let's just make up that a goal. Well, on crazy days, if I'm super busy, it just might be, you know, 10 push-ups and go to bed. But that still counts. On days where it's kind of mediumly busy, a little hectic, not your normal, but you can fit something in, maybe you'll do a 10 or 15 minute timer workout where you do push-ups, sit-ups, and bodyweight squats or reverse lunges, but you send 15 minutes and you just kind of get something in. What I do sometimes at the gym is I'll set 10 minute timer and I'll go back and forth between two exercises. Last week I did reverse flies on our ski erg, and then I did seated rows. We on our Concept 2 rower, we have an attachment. You can attach any handle you want. So I take off the one that comes with it and I put on D-rings so that way I can get a deeper contraction in my back. But I'll do like reverse flies, seated rows, reverse flies, seated rows, back and forth for 10 minutes. It's awful. It's fantastic. Great for your upper back, especially if I have long computer days. So it really helps with postural strength and postural corrections. But very quick, easy workout to get in on a medium day. And then on the best days, I get my big long, you know, like 1 hour workouts in that I love and make videos and try to educate people as I work out myself. So those are my favorite days. Unfortunately, they're way too far and few between. But those are kind of levels of how can I meet the goal of training every day. If you think I have to, like, the only way I can train is if I go to the gym and kick my own butt for an hour. Well, there's going to be days you can't do that. So you're going to feel inconsistent. You're going to feel like you're falling behind. You're going to feel like you're missing days. But if you say, every day I'm going to work out, some days it's going to look like this, some days it's going to look like that, but you have flexibility, it allows you to be much more consistent. So what we're doing is we're applying that concept towards nutritional tracking. So how do I pay attention to how I'm eating so I can stay on track and feel consistent, but know that there has to be some variableness. I can't think of whatever the word is supposed to be for that, so forgive me. But there might be some variety. I don't know, not variety, but yeah, there's just every day is not going to look the same. So we have to figure out how to eat and pay attention to how we eat, how we track what we eat, to where, again, if I think like every day at 6 a.m. I have to eat this, every day at 9 a.m. I have to eat this, every day at noon I have to eat this, you're going to fall behind and you're going to feel inconsistent when those aren't possible. You're going to feel like a failure, which is ridiculous and absolutely not true. So how do we feel more successful even when we can't match like the best case scenario days? So What I want to do is I want to talk about a low-level example, meaning like very low investment, very low mental investment, very low effort investment. So that way, if I have a crazy, horrible, stressful day, this is the minimum I can do, and I would still feel successful on this day. Then we're going to talk about a medium level, and then we're going to talk about kind of the most in-depth or higher level. And then I'm going to give you examples of how I use this in action in my real life. So we're going to talk through this. The idea is that you will learn these and then try to apply them yourself. And then if you have questions, please email me, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'll give you some, you know, more details either in your email, or I'll make an extra podcast to help explain it. What I'd love to do is to have you walk away from this saying, you know what? I see the value in being able to track my food in different ways. So that way I can feel more consistent. I can feel more in control. I can feel more successful, even on my crazy days. This helps lower our stress. This helps us not get into those negative cycles where we tell ourselves we're pieces of crap because we missed a meal at 12 and we had to eat it at 12:15. Oh, good Lord. Who cares? Or if I had 1 gram of fat, you know, when I wasn't supposed to. Who cares? Those things are very, very, very small in the grand scheme of life. They really don't make much difference at all. So how do I make sure I don't beat myself up over the things that don't matter, and I reward myself and tell myself good things for getting in the base, the basic of what's needed, even on really tough days? So your nutrition will not always be your number one priority in life, and it shouldn't be. There's a lot of other things that are going to get in the way of life in our food, and we have to learn how to modify our food, modify our physical goals, so that way we can still match our relationships, match our other needs or other priorities. So that's the idea of today, is just help give you some more options so you don't beat yourself up and, you know, feel bad. Okay, so let's get into this. The low-level way, the first thing I usually kind of think to myself is, if I have a crappy, crazy day, and I just know that the schedule's horrendous, or I'm not in control of my schedule, there's just going to be craziness to it, I just think to myself, eat often, eat good. Now, I know that eat well would probably be the better grammar, eat often, eat well. But why I say eat often, eat good is means just make good decisions. Of what's available to me, can I eat the better choices? So you can name this however you want. These aren't, you know, steadfast things, like they have to be done. But I just think to myself, eat often, eat good. So I eat as often as I can. I eat the good options that are available, and that's it. I don't get too worked up over it. And the reason why is because I can't control much on these days. Why in the world would I beat myself up trying to control things that are outside of my control? So, very quick example, and then just kind of throwing some things out there on top of my head. But last year, Meredith's mom had a stroke. We were up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for a couple days in a row. Then we had to come down to South Carolina for a week to do work, then drive back up and do that a couple times over for a couple months. And it was a little crazy. So on days that, like, at the time, the coronavirus was really peaked, so Meredith was the only one allowed in the hospital. So I would sit out in the truck for 10, 12 hours during the day. And I couldn't go anywhere. Nothing was open because of the pandemic. So I couldn't go to the local coffee shop or Starbucks or nothing. I just sat in the truck all day. And what are you going to do? what in the world are you going to do to try to make that day perfect? Am I going to try to, you know, cook chicken and rice out of nowhere, a hotel room, cook 10 hours worth of chicken and rice, and then try to have that in Tupperware and eat that cold? And could I do that? Yeah. Did I want to do that? No. So I'm not dieting for a competition. I'm not dieting for anything special. I'm not going to make myself go nuts trying to do all that. So I just ate often. I took some snack things, took some cracker things, you know, took a couple, you know, solid food meals. You just kind of make do with what you can. And on those days, you applaud yourself for not just skipping eating, or not just eating ice cream all day, or freaking out and like eat nothing all day because you're stressed, and then eat everything at night because you're stressed. So I was just proud of myself that I ate often throughout the day. Like, I had milk with me. I took, I think, Fig Newtons to eat during the day. I had the majority of my calories during the day so I could have less at night. And that's the better way to do things, so you don't retain body fat, so you fuel yourself during the day, so you fuel your muscle repairs, your body maintenance. I mean, you know, that's the best thing you can do, is just get calories in during the day so you don't overeat at night, and you eat whatever the hell is available to you with the best options available. That's it. So if you eat often, if you eat good, on days like that, you freaking have won the day. You've done a great job. So what I think to myself on those days is eat early in the day. Too often, we all know this, is it's convenient to eat very little during the day and overeat at night. And then we say, oh my God, I don't know why I'm fat. It's because you're under eating during the day. Your body has to pull from fat reserves for energy. And then all of a sudden at the end of the day, it's tired as hell from pulling from fat reserves all day. And then you dump a bunch of food in it. It's going to go, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to replenish my reserves and put more back in just in case I have to do that again. This is the same thing as how, like, if we spend money. If I had $1,000 in my bank account, maybe that was like my emergency savings. Something came up that was $1,200. You think I'm only going to put $1,000 back in my savings after that? Hell no. I'm probably going to put $1,500 just in case the next emergency is over $1,000. That's the same thing the body does. If it has to be forced to use a significant amount of body fat all day, and then you dump a bunch of calories in it at night, it's going to replenish the body fat it used and put more back. That's what body fat is. It's a protective mechanism so our body doesn't die. Body fat helps fuel our organs whenever we don't eat. So if we don't eat all day and then we give our body a bunch of fat, it's going to save that for sure. A bunch of calories, I mean. It's going to save that as fat to help protect the organs. So if you eat early in the day, if you eat often throughout the day, it's going to really help make sure your calories are coming in when you're using them. You have less calories at night when you don't need them, and your body fat levels will go down. It's like if you had $1,000 in savings and the most you ever had to spend at one time was $100, you wouldn't really care about $1,000, right? You might let it drop down to $800, maybe even $600, maybe even $500. Because what do you care? You only ever spend $100 at one time. You could even let it go down to $101, right? Well, that's what body fat does. If we currently have $1,000 in savings, let's just say our body fat right now is $1,000, but we eat early, we eat often, and we only ever make our body spend $100 at a time, it's not going to keep the $1,000 worth of body fat we have, right? It's going to let it come down to $800 as we give it more trust, as we continue to only have small discrepancies, as we continue to eat early, as we continue to eat often, it's going to let it drop to $600, then $400, then $200. And all of a sudden, we have less body fat. Ooh, that's what happens. That's how we get people super shredded, super lean. I've helped people get pro cards and drug tested and non-tested federations. So people who can't even use extra supplements, quote unquote, we can still get them super shredded, getting on stage with veins on top of their veins because of this concept. So eat early in the day, eat as often as you can, and choose the best choices available. Those are my three rules for this kind of day. Low level day, eat often, eat good. The rules are eat early in the day, eat as often as you can, choose the best choices available. Boom. So an example, one of the things I do here and there is eat something before you leave the house. So if you get up in the morning and you have to go outside of your house to manage one of these crazy days, eat something before you leave the house. It doesn't matter what the hell it is. Just shove something in your face that has calories. Literally, I don't care if you eat a stick of butter. Just go in your fridge, eat a stick of butter, and then walk out the door. But seriously, just eat anything. Anything is better than nothing. Anything. Literally, stick of butter. You can eat that before you leave. So what I do, one of the quick options I have, is I just have bags of cashews in our pantry area, and I just grab a bag of cashews and I eat cashews while I'm driving. Another option I have is a bagel sandwich. I toast a bagel in the toaster, and I then reach for lunch meat and a slice of cheese in our fridge. I'm usually waiting on the bagel to finish toasting, which takes like maybe 2 minutes, not even that. I then put the lunch meat inside the bagel, slice of cheese, smush it all together, eat that as I walk out the door. So bagel sandwich is a little bit of an option, like a little bit more time-consuming option, all of 3 minutes. So that's a joke if you don't do it. It's just you're choosing not to do it. Cashews, literally zero time. You just open the pantry door, grab it, and go. So it's you making choices. If you don't eat anything before you leave the house, that's because you chose not to eat something before you left the house. You chose not to prioritize your own health. So don't bitch and whine whenever you don't look the way you want to look, when you don't feel the way you want to feel, when you can't perform the way you want to perform. If you don't eat anything before you leave the house, that's your own damn choice. Shut up and deal with the consequences of your choice. Or make the choice to eat something. Okay? So eat something before you leave the house. When you're out and about, Eat something when you can. If you pass by a gas station, stop in, get some gas, grab a bag of cashews from inside. Most gas stations now actually have, like protein shakes. They have different types of protein bars and granola bars. A lot of them have hot food you can get, made pretty quickly. I grew up in Pennsylvania, so we had Sheetz. If you don't know what Sheetz is, I feel bad for you. Sheetz is awesome. But we had Sheetz, and now that I'm down in Rock Hill, South Carolina, they have what's called QT, Quick Trip. And but it's gas stations that have hot food, and you can buy a bunch of different things. So tons of things are available at gas stations nowadays. And then eat something when you get home. No matter how tired you are, put something in your face before you go to bed. I have one meal I do. It's microwavable chicken sausage, takes 60 seconds to microwave. Microwavable jasmine rice, which takes 90 seconds to microwave. So I can microwave those, have those on a plate, and be eating them in like 3 minutes. I can have the whole meal done eating and the plate washed by 10 minutes. I've done it. I've timed it because I want to be able to say these things in podcasts. So I have microwaved the sausage and the rice, eaten it, and washed the plate and fork in 10 minutes or less. You can also just do a protein shake. Simply scoop a scoop of protein powder, put a tablespoon or two of peanut butter, shake it up with water or almond milk, or if you have the calorie allowance, you can do it in regular milk. Shake that up, drink it, go to bed. But again, those are choices you're making. You are choosing to stop to eat during the day. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 10 minutes. You can choose to eat something before you go to bed at night. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 10 minutes. So it's your choice. Do you want to be consistent with your food? Do you want to be consistent towards your physical goals? Do you want to be building muscle? Do you want to be losing fat? Do you want to be improving your performance? Do you want to just feel more in control? Do you want to have less mental and emotional stress? These are your choices. So if you say there's no time to eat before you leave the house, you're full of shit. If you say there's no time to eat while I was out during the day, you're full of shit. If there was no time to eat before I went to bed, you're full of shit. You're just making the choice not to do it. What I would encourage you to do is to make the choice to actually do it. It's not as much of an investment as we think it is. I know this firsthand because I practice all this stuff. So again, I can tell you you're full of shit during podcasts and be a total jerk all the time. But you can make these choices. You can find things that are quickly and easily available, that at least get some calories in your face when you need them. Okay? So, I know I've probably just made everybody angry, so feel free to email me and tell me off. But try it. Try it. I promise this is possible, because I do it all the time. But this is our low level when shit hits the fan and we just have a rough day. We eat often, we eat good. Our rules for the day are eat early in the day, eat as often as you can, and choose the best choices available. Awesome. Now, hopefully you haven't tuned me out and telling me off yet. So our medium level, an example of a medium level day, meaning I'm busy today, but I do have some time. I can put in a purposeful breakfast. I can put a purposeful one or two meals during the day, and I can eat something purposeful at night. But I might not have the best foods available. I'm not sure how the day is going to go, but I do feel more in control of this day than on like the craziest days. So an example of how I manage this for clients is I break their day into 4-hour blocks. So if we think of 24 hours, you're typically going to sleep between 6 to 8 hours. And I know some of you are going to laugh because you're like, 6 hours, that'd be a miracle. But let's just say you sleep 6 to 8 hours. So for the 24 hours, you can kind of wipe out about 8 hours. We're going to be pretty much asleep. So give or take some time, just go with me on the concept here. That means that we have 16 hours to manage while being awake. If we break that into 4-hour blocks, that means we have 4 4-hour blocks. So I have the first 4 hours I'm awake, the second set of 4 hours I'm awake, the third set of 4 hours I'm awake, and the fourth set of 4 hours I'm awake. Maybe the fourth set ends up being, 5 hours by the time you go to bed, but it's the fourth unit of 4 hours, let's just say. So our goal would be to eat within each block, trying to match your calories to your activity level, and even having protein an even amount in each block. So on this day, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay better attention to how much food am I eating at which time of the day. And I'm going to pay attention to my protein. If we notice in the low level, We just said eat early, eat often. We didn't, you know, if breakfast is 500 calories, but lunch is only 300, and then in the afternoon you get a 600 snack, who cares? We're just trying to get some calories in our face. We're not counting them. We don't care when's high, when's it low. If you notice, we didn't even talk about protein. We're just trying to get food in our face. There's going to be some protein in it, probably. So we're just trying not to fall behind on calories and the timing of our calories on our low-level day. On our medium-level day, we're going to do maybe a little bit better with calories, try to match them a little more specifically to our activity level, and we're going to start to kind of pay attention to protein. Am I eating foods that have protein in them? How am I kind of splitting up my day? So, this day will take practice. For some people, this medium-level day is going to feel like your top-end, holy crap, this is a lot of effort day. Eventually, this actually becomes a pretty easy thing that you can do kind of in your head as you go through the day. Now, I have tons of athletes. I've worked with people in every, I've been a personal trainer for 19 years. I've worked with people who had to learn what a barbell versus a dumbbell was. And then I've also worked with professional athletes, Olympic lifters, Olympic athletes, you know, just people who are professionals in their sport. So I've worked with everyone. And I've had people who are not professionals have this day feel like a normal day for them. So it's going to feel overwhelming for a lot of you, but eventually if you work on this, it feels easy and it's easily manageable. So the goal of our four-hour blocks, we're going to call medium day four-hour blocks, where we said the low-level day was eat often, eat good. Our medium-level day is four-hour blocks. We're going to divide our day into four-hour blocks, and it's easy. You just, whenever you wake up, starts the first four-hour block. So if I wake up at 6 a.m., my four-hour blocks are 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., 6 p.m. to whenever the hell I go to bed. So then what we do is we consider, okay, am I mediumly active, am I low active, or am I high active during my four-hour block? So I'm going to give some examples. This is going to take some practice, but let's go through some examples. Maybe from 6 to 10 a.m., I'm kind of getting up in the morning, I'm getting ready for work, I drove to work, or I sat at my computer at work, or I stayed at home and worked from my computer at home, but just kind of sitting on my butt, not doing much. We're going to call that a medium day, like a medium time frame. Now, could it be low and effort? You could call it that, but I'm going to kind of go through this as an example and we'll learn more as we go. So I'm going to call this medium calories, medium effort. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., again, we're active, but we're not really doing anything strenuous. Maybe, you know, getting up to make a meal. Maybe I'm getting up to go to work, like go to eat with some coworkers. Maybe I'm still just at my desk for 4 hours straight doing more piddly crap. So I might be mentally active, but I'm not really physically active yet. So again, still medium calories. Then from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., maybe I'm going to work out right after work around 5 or 5:30. So this kind of tricky because at the end of this time frame, I'm going to be very busy. I'm going to be working out. So I might call this a higher calorie block because I will be working out during this block. And then from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., I'm home from the workout, small errands, not really doing much, just, you know, folding up some laundry, doing some odds and ends, and then I'm going to be going to sleep. We're going to call that our lower calorie time. Now, why am I naming things like medium calories, high calories, low calories? Because that's going to help us know where to kind of distribute our calories. We said we want to match our calories to our activity level. That means when my activity is high, my calories should be high. When my activity is low, my calories should be low. Now, how do I know how high is high and how low is low? So, what we can do is, if we know that we have four-hour blocks in the day, then I can divide my daily food up by four. So if I have 2,000 calories today, that's my kind of target, then if I divide that by four, that means I get 500 calories per time block. So between 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., I would eat 500 calories. Between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I would eat 500 calories. Between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., I'd eat 500 calories. And between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., I'd eat 500 calories. But that would only make our calories even all day. That doesn't mean it matches our activity level. So we have to figure out, when do I eat more? When do I eat less? Well, which time block was the highest activity? We said that was the one where you're kind of finishing up and you're getting ready to go work out. which time block was our lowest activity? That was the one after the workout. We're sitting at home kind of doing nothing now. So what you can do is you can divide your day up by four. So we said our goal was 2,000 calories. That means my average for each time block would be 500 calories. Okay? Now, for the time block that I'm most active, maybe I'm going to eat 25% more. So if I divide 500 by, you know, whatever the hell, 25%, so that's going to be 125 calories, if I'm doing my math correctly. So during my high activity time, I'd eat 125 calories above 500 calories. So it'd be 625. But during my low time, I would eat the equivalent below 500 calories. So I'd eat 125 below 500. So that'd be 375 calories. So I'd have 500 calories during my medium level activity times. I would have 625 calories during my high activity window. And I would have 375 calories during my low activity window. So that's an example. So between 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., I'd eat 500 calories. Between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I'd eat 500 calories. But from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., I'm going to eat higher calories because I have to fuel myself getting into the workout and I have to fuel the workout. So I'm going to eat 625. But that would mean that I'm 125 calories over my average. So I'm actually going to end the day too high. So I have to take 125 calories away from my medium to make my low calorie block. So from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., I'm sitting at home, not doing much, about to go to bed. I only eat 375 calories. If you do this, and you get used to doing this, it's actually really freaking easy. Divide your target by 4. Eat 25% more during one time block, that's your highest activity. Eat 25% less during your lowest activity block. Boom, done. As you practice this, it gets a hell of a lot easier. So it sounds a little confusing to try to explain it all and kind of get through all the little individual like concepts. But in general, that's all you're doing, is you're dividing your target by 4. On the highest calorie 4-hour window, you're going to eat 25% more. On your lowest activity window, you're going to eat 25% less. Now, does it always have to be 25%? Hell no. I have some people, we do 10% changes. Some people, I do 33% changes. It just depends on the person, their type of activity, like how active they are in their training. If they burn a crap ton of calories during their training, we have to have a higher percentage of change. If they're, you know, a powerlifter who does one set and sits on their butt for 10 minutes, it's a very low level of change. So it really depends on the person, but you can just start with 25%. Great, easy way to do it, and just kind of modify as you go from there. But this is an easier day in the sense that you just divide your target by 4, add 25% to during your highest activity block, subtract 25% during your lowest activity block, boom, done. Now, with this one, we did talk about protein. We just try to divide that evenly throughout the day. How much protein should you have? We have podcast way the hell back when, in podcast 33, titled How Much Protein Do I Need? So you can search for Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 33, How Much Protein Do I Need, on Google, and you'll be able to find that. If you can't find it, just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. And what it tells you is you need about 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. 0.6 grams of protein per pound of body weight is for people who don't do much. 0.8 grams of protein per pound of body weight is for people who are kind of pretty active. They lift weights a couple times a week. Bodybuilders, people who damage muscles a lot, high activity athletes, you might want 1 gram per pound of body weight. So let's just say that the person weighs 160 calories. They're going to want 160 grams of protein. So they just divide their protein by 4. That equals 40 grams of protein per time block. So between 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., they'd have 40 grams of protein. Between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., 40 grams of protein. Between 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., 40 grams of protein. Between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., 40 grams of protein. So we just let our protein be consistent and even all day because our repair and demand is consistent and even all day. But our activity is not. Our activity is high and low, so we want our calories to be high and low. Sound good? Now, I know that there's going to be a billion questions. There's going to be some complexity to that. You're going to try sometimes, and you're going to crash and burn on that. But try it. Work it. Figure it out. Play with it. The idea is this gives you another option. This is one way that you can manage calories relatively easy. And what I mean by relatively easy is there's way more complex ways. So this might feel like the most complex for you, but get used to it. Practice it, okay? Whatever your target calories are for the day, divide it by 4. That gives you your calories per time block. Do 25% above during your highest activity time block, 25% below during your lowest activity time block. Divide your target protein up, divide it by 4, get that equally throughout the day. Boom. Done. So that is our medium level. That is our 4-hour time blocks. Now, I knew this was going to take probably two parts, so we're going to cut this today here at this. So we talked about our low level, which is eat often, eat good. We talked about our medium level, which is 4-hour blocks. In part two, we're going to talk about the high level, how to get more specific with your nutrient timing. And then I'll also talk about kind of life application, what this looks like when you try to do it from day to day to day. Cool. So hopefully this was helpful. If you liked today, please wait and be ready to tune in for part two when it comes out in probably 4 more podcasts, the next nutrition-based podcast rotation. Okay. If you have any questions about this day, feel free to email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com or wait and hang out and listen to part two and see if that answers some of it for you. But thank you very much for tuning into the podcast. I hope that this will eventually be very helpful once we get to part two, and it can give you those options you might need to start to kind of track your nutrition throughout the day. And that way you can feel like you're more consistent. You can feel like there's variability to how you can track it. So that way you can track it to your best ability per day. Cool. Okay, I'm going to stop talking, but thank you very much for listening. If you like the podcast and you believe the podcast is helpful, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. So it's pretty awesome. So thank you if you do that. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean app and through donations on Instagram. You can click our little link in our bio and you can donate to the podcast through that way. So thank you very much to the people who do that. I appreciate you all very much. The podcast is expensive. So thank you for helping. Also, if you like the information shared in our podcast, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.